hope you're excited because today is the church's birthday. We call it Pentecost, but it's the church's birthday. And if it was more normal times, maybe we'd get Helen to make us a big cake that we could all share together. So it's a great day, an exciting day. We would be better with cake, actually, I have to say, Helen. But maybe today, if you've got children, that's one of the things you can do. Go home, find yourself a piece of cake or make a cake, put candles on it and remind your children and yourselves that this is an exciting day. It's the day the Lord has given. It's the church's birthday. So let's us pray and look at this Bible passage together. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can celebrate today, that we can look to you to pour out your Spirit upon us. We thank you, Lord, that you are full of life, life that you want to give to us and to the church and to your people worldwide, to bring people to you, Lord. And so we pray that you'll give us a greater understanding of your word this morning, that we might be drawn closer to you, that we might be empowered to be like those first disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've got a few P's for those who like alliteration. Promise, power, purpose, praise, and proclamation. So that will hopefully help you to hang and remember the message this morning. Promise, power, purpose, praise, and proclamation. Well, most of us have heard children say, "You promised." Maybe you are a parent and you will have heard that, "But you promised." And then you might end up with sulking or tears. Sadly, we may be the ones who've broken a promise, or maybe somebody's broken a promise to us that has really hurt us. But what we see in God's word is that God's promises are always kept. They're always true, which we'll see in a moment. Also, just a thought as well, when you've got a birthday or maybe an anniversary or maybe a success because you've done some exams or something, you may be given a gift. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible to be given a gift and not know that you've been given a gift? Of course, it's possible to refuse a gift because you don't like it or you don't like the giver. But generally speaking, I think we know when we've been given a gift. So I want you to hold that thought in mind as we look at this passage today. So we need, first of all, to just recap on chapter 1. We have Jesus giving a command to the disciples to remain in Jerusalem and wait. What are they waiting for? The gift that Jesus said God the Father has given them as a promise. They were told in verse 5, chapter 1, "You'll receive the gift, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power," verse 8, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." These commands and promise were given to all the believers, not just the 12, there were 120 of them. All believers have experienced some work of the Holy Spirit, because we can't believe unless God has been at work in our lives. And Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, "You must be born again of the Holy Spirit." So if you're a believer, God is at work within you through his Holy Spirit. But here in chapter 2, this is happening too. It is Pentecost, one of three festivals where the Jews came, and they came to make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It was a festival of harvest, 7 weeks after the harvest begun. Harvest of food. And God, isn't he great how he parallels things up? And here at Pentecost, it's no longer just about food that we eat. It's about spiritual food. It's about power to go out, a harvest of people. And that is what God says. It reminds me of what Peter said. You'll not only just be catching fish anymore, you'll be catching people. Similar thing here. It was a festival of food, of harvest, but now it's a festival of people, of harvesting people into God's kingdom. And we read, don't we, a bit later in chapter 2, that 3,000 people were saved on that day. There were 120 people praying together. There were more believers than that, because Paul tells us in one of his letters, of course, that there were 500 gathered together at one time when Jesus spoke to them after his resurrection. But there were 120 of them together here. Let's think about what happened. I want you to try to imagine you were there with those 120 people. We don't have 120 in church this morning, but just imagine. They hear a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. They saw tongues of fire resting on each person. They heard people speaking in other languages, languages that they hadn't learned. This was an experience. Their ears, their eyes, they're audible, their ears. I want you to imagine it happening here, right now, here at St. George's. It's so noisy that they can hear you across the road at the Vine Hop. They can hear you across the road at Panache. That's how much noise there is. What would you do? What would you do? Would you want to run out? Oh, it's not for me. Help, what's going on? Or would you welcome and say, oh, praise the Lord, God is at work amongst us. You see, for the believers, it says suddenly. So yes, they've been praying together, but actually it was still a bit of a shock. It came suddenly when God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, sent him down among the believers. But they understood. They understood. They realized this is what God has promised to us. And they declare the glory of God in verse 11. God fulfilled that promise that he gave them, that God the Father, when Jesus ascended into heaven, God the Father would send the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit himself, to be amongst us, working amongst us. And the people, as they received this wonderful gift, they declared the greatness of God. Actually, a better, accurate translation is the greatnesses of God. It's a bit of a mouthful. Because he's got his what? His love, his mercy, his power, his majesty, his sovereignty, his purity, and so on. God fulfilled his promise, as he always does. And his timing is just right. How often during my Christian life I think God's timing isn't right. But actually it is always right. The Greek Roman world, all these people were in Jerusalem. 15 groups of people are mentioned, 15 language groups, and yet they all heard praise for God and his greatness. It was a new experience, something rather different perhaps from what they even expected. And God is a God of the unexpected, and that's one of the great things about being a Christian. God always comes up trumps, and he does things that you never imagine would happen to you. But it caused two kinds of responses, and does today. One, they made fun. Verse 13, they made fun. They were mocking. They were cynical. They were skeptical. Isn't that what happens to us today when people think about the Christian faith? And how often it's very often portrayed on television, in dramas, even in some documentaries, as something to be made fun of. But others ask questions. They say, what does this mean? What's happening? What does it mean for me? Two responses, and which is the easiest to make? Well, maybe the first. Oh, I'll laugh it off, and then I don't need to think about it anymore. But you know, it's the second response that can lead to a life-changing experience. If you are not yet a Christian believer, it's advisable to ask those questions. What does the Bible mean for me? What's this all about? It isn't too late to find out while you've still got some earthly life left. Find out. Make sure that you ask somebody. Come to church. Get in touch with us. We can help you to find an answer if you are truly searching. But yes, it is a bizarre happening. And as the 120 receive power, they are changed. Suddenly, they become a people of praise, a people proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, who forgives sins. And they are eager to share about their encounter with Jesus Christ. Yes, it's Peter who stands up and addresses the crowd. But can't you imagine? He's not the only one who's speaking. There's 120 of them chattering and sharing. And people are saying, "Hey you, how come you're speaking my language? What were you doing today? Why are you here?" And people would be answering these questions. Every single one of those 120 would have been asked questions and they would be ready to answer. And so should we. It's not enough just to hear it from perhaps the pulpit here. It's actually important that each one of the believers is sharing. If you're a believer, then talk about your trust in Jesus. Talk about how Jesus forgives you, how he helps you, maybe how he's healed you, how he listens to your prayers, and how you're being changed by him. Okay, we're not perfect. We've got so many faults this side of heaven. And we're not, but we know we've been changed. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know that God is changing you. Thank God. And so Peter does it. Yes, he's the one who stands up publicly for the whole crowd. And he uses the word of God and his own experience to explain. And that's what we must do too. Know the word of God so you can use it, so you can talk about what it says. Remember some of the stories that Jesus told. And your own experience too. Because that brings it alive to people. Speak in their language, as it were. And this word that Peter uses is from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel. I can't talk about the whole passage of Joel because we don't have the time this morning. But Peter starts off by saying, in the last days. That's not how it was written in the book of Joel. But Peter is reminding those and you and me that we are in the last days. The days before Jesus came first and when Jesus comes again. We're living in those last days. And we see from this passage in Joel that God's Holy Spirit is for all people, young, old, regardless of gender or status. Church of England, yes. Baptists, yes. Pentecostals, yes. And the rest, all Christian believers. Sometimes people think the Church of England is not. Of course we are. We are part of it. If you are a believer, if we as a church are believing in God's word, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, we are included. And the purpose of this is salvation. Verse 21, Peter reminds us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's our message. Tell people it's the only hope. People are going to hell. They're dying if they don't know Jesus. Remember that. It will give you that imperative to keep going. The purpose of Pentecost is to bring non-believers into the kingdom of God. And after Peter had explained, we didn't read all of his speech, we have a harvest of people. Verse 41, those who believed his message of Jesus of Nazareth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension and his Holy Spirit, 3,000 people became believers that day. Wouldn't that be great in Poynton if every sermon preached this morning was bringing that many people in? Poynton would be changed and then we could go out and change more. We need to pray. The promise of Jesus to be with us by the power of the Holy Spirit is fulfilled here. The power came upon his people for the purpose of praising and proclaiming the word of God. We must ask ourselves this question. Do we experience this power in our church today? And if not, why not? Do I experience this power day by day? Or do I sometimes run dry? And how should we pray? In Acts 4, and look it up when you get home, Acts 4, 29 to, verses 29 and 30, we get a glimpse of how the early church prayed. And this is what they say in their prayer. Enable us to speak your word with boldness. We need to pray that, each and every one of us, for ourselves as individuals, but also as a church. Enable us to speak your word with boldness. Never mind this political correctness all the time. We need to proclaim the word of God and the truth of the word of God. Yes, we need to do it sensitively. We need to be careful. But what about those being persecuted? And then they go on to pray, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. Verse 30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Jesus. You see, in the early church and in the church today, God is confirming his word through signs and wonders. Do we believe that? We have a God of miracles and we should be seeing them as we proclaim his word and as we ask for God's power to be amongst us. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. He decides when he's going to pour out his spirit. But without him, we can do nothing. Sometimes I'm humbled greatly when I think of the persecuted church and the growth of the church in areas where Christians are persecuted. I cannot imagine how they stand up to torture, the loss of their families, they go into prison. I am deeply humbled. And yet, we see them proclaiming the word of God, not going back on it, not just saying, well, no, it doesn't really matter. I'm not really a believer. No, we don't see any of that. We see the church in power. We see the Holy Spirit strengthening them and fulfilling his purpose. So the church is growing in places like China and in the Middle East too. It's amazing what God is doing. So surely we, like the first believers, we living in the comfortable West, we must have the courage to speak the truth, to be risk takers, to be a people of praise, and to see many becoming believers. God's promise is for you and for me. He will give us the power, the strength. His purpose is that we proclaim his praise and we proclaim his message of salvation. Without it, people are without hope. They will die in their sin. Is that what you want for your friends, your colleagues, your family? No. Then proclaim to them the word of God. Ask God to give you those opportunities. Ask God to give you that boldness. Then we can make a difference like the early church did. And pray those words for that boldness and signs and wonders. Pray for people who are sick and see God heal them. And so we pray. Remember the promise of God. The power of God, the purpose of God, so that we can be a people of praise, a people who proclaim God's word faithfully in word and deed, not just on a Sunday in church, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so pray, and pray with me. Yes, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.